Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, former UK Labour Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott has died at the age of 86. His family announced his death this morning, saying he was living with Alzheimer's in his later years. The former trade union activist and ex-merchant seaman served as MP for Kingston upon Hull East for 40 years, and he helped pave the way for Labour to regain power after 18 years in opposition with Tony Blair's historic landslide victory in 1997. He also famously acted as a mediator in the often turbulent relationship between Tony Blair and Chancellor Gordon Brown. Here's a little of what he said about that in his 2012 Desert Island Discs interview with Kirsty Young.
And both of them were brilliant, quite frankly. Gordon in the economics, Tony in the politics, in a way. And we needed them. I had to keep these two horses going in the same direction. When it got really difficult, I'd have them in for a meal, and I'd sit in the middle, and Gordon on one side, Tony on the other. And Gordon, you know, it could be a miserable bugger from time to time. He'd sit down, "This chair's a bit low." You know, and I said, "Oh, as my waiter experience, I'll get you another chair." So I got him a higher chair, turned to Tony and said, "Do you want a higher chair, Tony?" "No, I'm used to Gordon looking down at me." So to that extent, I had to manage that and go in there. And I think they were both brilliant. I'm an admirer of both.
Well, he was a great man to tell a story. Daily Mirror Associate Editor Kevin Maguire is with us. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I'm laughing. I know it's sad he's died, but it's just bringing it all back.
Yeah, and it was that mediating role that he was really valued for, wasn't it? I mean, he not only mediated between the two men, but he also bridged that massive gap between old Labour and new Labour.
Oh, absolutely. Labour's working class base and middle class intellectuals, the Labour movement's political and industrial wings. And he was a trade union negotiator. That's where he started out. In fact, in 1966, Harold Wilson, the then Prime Minister, denounced him as one of the most dangerous men in Britain as he led a seafarers' strike with another group. But it was, he was that glue that kept the Labour coalition together through those years of Tony Blair and Gordon Brown.
Yeah, and his background, as you say, was proudly working class and Labour. We've another clip now. Let's take a listen.
"I came out of 10 years of seafaring that taught me all the industrial strength and the industrial muscle, couldn't achieve all that I wanted, that I needed a political party to make the change."
He was actually an innovator. He was highly, highly intelligent. That was sometimes masked by, you know, people used to make fun of his speeches and his use of the English language. But he was an incredibly direct communicator. And even if the syntax never quite made sense, the sentiment was very powerful and made complete sense.
That was Tony Blair on the BBC this morning paying tribute to John Prescott. And Kevin, he was referring to the fact that John was often lampooned, wasn't he, for his lack of oratory skills. He was mocked from time to time by the opposition for his working class background. He was sensitive to that, wasn't he? And he spoke about, you know, really feeling when he was in Westminster that people were laughing at him and mocking him. And he said that this is not my fault, that I didn't get the education that I would have wanted, that I didn't come from a background that could afford at that time to give him the education that he wanted.
No, that's absolutely right. And it did rankle. I mean, he would face down his critics, but he was the boy who failed his 11 plus and never got the bike his railway worker father had promised had he gone to grammar school. So he came up the School of Hard Knocks on ocean liners where he was a waiter. He used to box for the paying customers, the passengers, including Anthony Eden, an ousted Prime Minister in 1997. So he was always made to feel inferior, and he suffered some terrible snobbery. Nicholas Soames, a rather grand Tory MP, once shouted across the Commons, "Gin and tonic, Giovanni," because, of course, he'd been a waiter on an ocean liner. The fact that he used to buy second-hand Jaguars got him the nickname Two Jags, because he also had one as a minister. His home in Hull was Mock Tudor, so, of course, it was immediately Prescott Towers, and he was lampooned horribly when he was filmed playing croquet at Dornywood. Almost any other minister had been playing croquet at that grace and favour home used by cabinet ministers, and they wouldn't have been lampooned in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it did hurt him, but he always thought the best way was yes, get angry, but also get even.
He did
get even by doing things.
He did enjoy life, though, didn't he? I mean, he did.
Oh, yes.
He did enjoy the trappings of power.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't a great drinker. He could shift a fair bit. He wasn't one for the finest restaurant, but no, he enjoyed having the use of a country estate. He enjoyed having a home in Admiralty House in Whitehall. That went with his job as Deputy Prime Minister. No, certainly. I mean, he was that working class lad, made good, who appreciated things in life that were beyond the reach of most people like him. And as John Lennon sang, a working class hero is something to be. And John Prescott was certainly that. Now, he was no hair shirter. He believed nothing was too good for the workers, and he enjoyed it when he could get hold of it himself.
Mm-hmm. When he decided to go with Blair and that whole New Labour movement, his colleagues in Old Labour, some of them said, "Oh, you've been hoodwinked by these guys." What was his thinking when he was making the move?
No, you're absolutely right. I dealt with him over a long period of time, and some of his more hardline, uncompromising colleagues on the left of Labour, trade union backgrounds, would accuse him of compromising too far, occasionally of being a sellout. But his point was you had to have power, you had to win in order to change the world and make lives better. And in some ways, he was ahead of his time. Because before Tony Blair became the Labour leader, when he was in the shadow cabinet, he was making the case for private investment in public services. I can say that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it was a way of getting extra spending in infrastructure. And the phrase he coined himself when he ran successfully for Labour's deputy leadership in 1994 was traditional values in a modern setting. Mm-hmm. You don't forget where you've come from and what your goal is, but how you achieve it may change itself over the decades.
I remember in 2001, I was working for Channel 5 News when he threw the punch at the Welsh protester who egged him in the face. I mean, can you remember the news story that was at the time? It was extraordinary. But think back to the scenes. It was all filmed. We could see it all at close range. It was extraordinary, wasn't it?
It was in Rhyl, and he'd arrived for a Labour rally. It was a group of protesters, I believe it was countryside issues, particularly trying to retain fox hunting. And he was smashed on the back of the head with the egg, as you say. He turned round, instinctively unleashed his left, because he could box. He was very pugilistic from his days as an ocean waiter. Hit him with the left, and you could see the right pulled back, ready to go as a pile driver, but he stopped. And this is a Deputy Prime Minister connecting with the electorate in ways that aren't really in guidebooks for elections. And there was panic and pandemonium in Labour HQ. The Blair camp told him he had to apologise. He said, "I'm not apologising." He attacked me. That was self-defence. There was some wild talk he would have to resign. And it was the following day at a press conference, which I was at, having watched the events unfold the previous day, kind of laughing and thinking, this is amazing, that Blair didn't know what to say. He said, "Well, John is John." Everybody laughed. And the public, the electorate, loved it, because here was a man acting in self-defence, and people are fed up with yobs and people thinking they can go around punching others with impunity. It actually worked, not only in the favour of Prescott, but Labour itself.
It's scarcely believable, and you'd wonder, you know, what would happen now? You know, if a politician did that today, would the response change? I would imagine it would be a resignation matter, wouldn't it?
Well, Prescott himself afterwards, discussing it with him, he said he felt a smash on the back of the head. He turned round and instinctively lashed out. And he said he found it was rather fortunate the person who'd hit him had a mullet and was a man. What would have been if it had been a woman or a child?
Well, there you go. And that's what earned him the Two Jabs nickname, wasn't it, after two jags? What about policy then? I mean, his policy record from the time that Labour got their landslide in 1997 through over the next 10 years, it was a bit of a mixed bag. What would you say, or what would he have believed were his greatest achievements?
Yeah, a huge department was created for him in 1997 with the environment, transport and the regions, and it was actually too big. And I think he acknowledged that that later. But he looks, or he looked at with pride at a huge refurbishment program of council and social housing, saving the Channel Tunnel rail link from London to the Kent coast, which was a private company, went bankrupt, powering some economic development. They were all areas that he was directly involved in. And I think more broadly, he looks on with, or he looked on with great fondness on employment reforms, better workers' rights, the minimum wage, investment in the NHS, all those issues which he, as a Deputy Prime Minister, he played a role now in. It wasn't always sweetness and light. And he did complain at times that the beautiful people, as he would call some in New Labour, attempt to marginalise him. He felt Blair and Brown were talking about how he did try and be a bridge between them. And at times he was, because relations could be very close to collapse. Mm-hmm. But he also felt cut out because he was the Deputy Prime Minister, but the second most important person in the government was the Chancellor, not him.
Right. And then, of course, towards the end, then coming up to 2007, the focus was very much on his personal life. There were revelations about an affair. And then that meant it was open season, really, on him as far as the press were concerned.
Yeah, well, it was the Daily Mirror, my own newspaper, which broke news of his affair. And I had to speak to John Prescott. He was at Heathrow Airport, got him on his mobile and said, "Son, John, very sorry about this, but we know you've been having an affair with your secretary as a public interest reason to reveal this because of the power relationship, and you've been using government properties to conduct this affair." And I knew immediately it was true. I had incontrovertible proof, but I knew it was true because he didn't swear at me. He asked a few questions and kind of agreed to let him think over how he wanted to respond. And of course, he had to go off speak to Tony Blair and particularly Pauline, his wife, and then he issued a statement saying he regretted it, but some of the abuse he got was pretty ferocious, and he did consider resigning in 2006. That was the one period he did consider resigning. Didn't think of quitting over the punch, didn't think of quitting over lots of the policy issues, but that hurt him, but he never held a grudge, because I bumped into him shortly afterwards. I thought, oh no, I'm going to get a tirade of abuse from somebody I respect and admired, but of course you cross swords as a journalist. But he was utterly, he gave one fruity comment, and then he invited me to his office, and we, which was full of models of the liners he'd served on, and we just resumed discussing politics. He didn't hold a grudge if he felt you were being straight with him, but if you were snobby with him, he did.
Kevin, thanks very much for telling us all about that. It's fascinating to get your insights, given that you knew the man so well, as you've been telling us. Tony Blair said this morning, along with the comments that you heard there, we played from the BBC, he said he was devastated by the news of John's passing. He said he was one of the most talented people I ever encountered in politics, one of the most committed and loyal, and definitely the most unusual. That is John Prescott, who his family had announced this morning died yesterday. Coming up next, we're going to hear about the latest legal quandary being thrown up by artificial intelligence. That's the rise of voice clones.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.